urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
All my friends, it's wonderful to be with you today, May 3rd. Yes, I am live. It's not a rebroadcast. May 3rd, 2021. And we have a very special program lined up for you today. Even though it's kind of miserable out here in Philadelphia, and I heard the rest of the week could be rainy and some storms, pray for our friends in Atlanta, Georgia. I heard in my drive coming to the studio that a tornado had touched down earlier. So let's pray for all of our friends in the South who are experiencing bad weather, and pray protection upon our listening audience from any thunder, lightning, hail, any problems, to Saint Scholastica. Yes, I heard that Saint Scholastica is the patron saint of storms. So let's pray to her that all of our listening audience is protected in a very special way. Let us pray. My friends, I'm going to pray, and I've prayed this before, but it is so powerful, and it has such a wonderful impact with all of you that it's important to keep praying this prayer. And it's called Trust Me. And you've heard this with Eddie Moe, Kathleen, and some of our broadcast hosts, but it is very, very special. And the Lord is calling all of us to trust Him in a unique and powerful way. So let us pray together in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Do you believe that I died for all men and women and that I rose from the dead? Then why do you continue to be distracted and anxious about your loved ones? Do they not also belong to me? Would I refuse to work in their lives just as I work in yours? I have not put you in charge of redeeming them. I've already done that. Nor do you have the power to change their hearts. Only my Holy Spirit searches and knows the deepest hearts of men and women, and only He can heal their deepest wounds. Your task is to love, to forgive, to pray for them, and to turn them over to me. Come closer to me yourself, and I will do the rest. Trust me. Prayer card printed by the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, Association of Marian Helpers in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Author unknown. But we know it's Kathleen McCarthy who wrote this prayer long ago. So let us pray that all who are in need of prayer today trust the Lord in His beautiful gift of mercy, His beautiful gift of mercy, tenderness, and healing, that anyone who is listening to this program today will be touched in a powerful way, that this network touch your life and the lives of all those you love in a very special way this week. My friends, many of you know that Kathleen is on Facebook Live on Tuesdays. How exciting is that? You want to check into her Facebook page and get involved so you receive a link just when she's coming on the air. You don't even have to think about it. You sign up, then you're a member of the Facebook Live audience. But guess what? Last week she had a listener from Ireland. And I'm encouraging all of you who are listening today to state when you're on Facebook watching her where you live, what state you're in, and then to share it with someone from another state or another country. So let's get that going, all right? Let's build this community across the world for her and for the powerful gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon her. And at this time of mercy and healing, He wants to provide to you through social media. Yes, that's used many times against Christians. But this time we're praying through the power of the Holy Spirit that all who watch and listen and learn will be touched in a powerful way. So how many of you know what happened on Sunday in Naples, Italy? I wish I could see you, but because it's radio, I'm assuming that many of our beautiful friends know that at 5:18 p.m. on Sunday in Naples, Italy, the Eucharist liquefied. What? Did you never hear of this? Saint Janarius, J-A-N-U-A-R-I-U-S, in the reliquary that's displayed, the dried red-colored mass solid confined to one side of reliquary turned to liquid. Yes, that's right. The Eucharist returned to a liquid. Now, there have been some years, my friends, when it did not turn to a liquid. So it is known in Naples, Italy, and throughout the church, if there's a failure of the Eucharist to liquefy on this date, the blood liquefying signals, the blood not liquefying signals war, famine, disease, or other disaster. But it did liquefy this year. Thanks be to God. Look it up. For those of you who've never heard of it, it's a beautiful tradition, and the folks who live in Naples, Italy, know of it quite well, and throughout the world. I heard of it maybe 35 years ago, and today, while looking at Spirit Daily, which I try to read every day, and if you haven't, it's www.spiritdaily.com. You can catch up on things around the world in terms of the church and what's happening. Some of it is a little off the cuff, and other times it's stuff that you really need to know. You need to know your faith. So, my friends, look up St. Janarius. On May 2nd, this past Sunday at 5:18 p.m., the Holy Eucharist became liquefied, and it was confined to one side of the reliquary. So, this sets the stage for our powerful program today. We will be having Mary B. D'Amico. You've heard Mary B. many times on this program. You've heard Kathleen mention her name. We're going to be talking about a couple different things, but an update on the George Washington, they call it the Mountain in Valley Forge, where allegedly Our Lady appeared to George Washington. I'm sure you haven't read about that in the news. And what happened, and what was her message. But I want Mary B., who's very, very much involved in this, to give us an update of what has been happening with her friends and the Rosary Prayer Group that's forming and all the beautiful things that are happening because, my friends, she wants to invite you and your family and friends and neighbors out to pray the Rosary at this very special site. It's not dedicated to just one person going out and praying the Rosary. She wants to offer this beautiful story to all of you. So I'm very excited to hear an update on this. And we have a few other surprises in store for those who are listening today. And by the way, a big thank you to all of you who participated in the golf outing for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Great success. Rave reviews. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting this amazing apostolate that's on the move. So those of you who are listening, thank you. Thank your friends. And even if you didn't golf and went for dinner, I heard everything was fabulous. I couldn't make it. Heard everything. Even the silent auction. Thank you for all your gifts. Thank you for supporting this apostolate. This is amazing. So I just wanted to personally thank all of you on behalf of Kathleen McCarthy, her board of directors, her volunteer staff, and the other broadcasters for making this broadcast a possibility through your unconditional support. Unconditional support. So we thank you so much. And now, my friends, we have on the air our special guest, Mary B. D'Amico, and we're going to be talking about George Washington and Valley Forge. So what in the world does this have to do with the broadcasters and the people who are listening today, Mary B.?
Valley Forge?
Yes.
Well, I mean, as you know, Anne, that since September, we have had a kind of a rosary crusade of sorts, patriotic rosary crusade, twice a week over at Valley Forge. And I think in the early days, a lot of people, you know, kind of were responding to, you know, the prayers needed for our country at that, you know, particular time, kind of going into an election that kind of had people divided and things like that. And it was just a really nice place to come and, you know, and offer prayers to God and try to find peace and, you know, and to pray for our country. But a lot of people don't know that we have continued this rosary long past the election and into perpetuity, where there's no plan for it to stop, actually. And so I guess that's the message for today, that that's still, the Valley Forge Rosary Initiative is still going on twice a week over at Valley Forge at the Marquee, where George Washington had a vision of the Blessed Mother in his tent many, many years ago.
What was the message? Do you? I know that this is off the cuff and I'm catching you off guard, but if you could paraphrase, what was the message from Our Lady to George Washington?
I mean, the way I would net it out is it was a message of beautiful hope and future that we would face. This would be a nation that was very much blessed by God, specifically protected by her as an intercessor on our behalf. And that, you know, as such, that it was, you know, was going to face challenges, but it had a special blessing, or to use a word you like to use a lot, is a special anointing over it. That's the word, a word I'm using now, but just to kind of net it all out. And, you know, when she laid out the three pretty monumental events or challenges we would face as a nation, the outcome is always the same. It's that we, as a country, the United States of America, is unlike any other country on the planet. And it is, it's very much blessed by God in its respect for the human person and the rights that God created to be very much a part of that human person. And so that's the blessing, the freedom, you know, the freedom to be who we were created to be. And so her message was, in a time of adversity, when he was staring down a potential loss in a very important war, and then she showed him that kind of as a recurring theme a couple of times in our history.
So
but we always win.
And we always, well, God always wins.
God always wins.
And, mm-hmm. and Father James Blunt always says that. God always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Mary B., tell our listeners what's happening, though. You had mentioned that two times a week, people gather at the Marquee to pray the rosary. So are mm-hmm. you praying for the nation or personal intentions?
We are very much praying for the nation, and it's kind of interesting that you asked that question because, you know, through the winter, you know, it was a long winter at Valley Forge this year.
It was.
Also a theme from the past. Honestly, the last piece of snow remaining in the park this year, I contest, was literally the area surrounding the Marquee. I have no idea why. When everything else had you know, showed its green head popping through again, there was still a band of snow around the Marquee. but in any event, you know, with the election behind us, I felt as we were facing the springtime and getting ready to call those patriotic prayers back to their post, I revamped the intentions very prayerfully. And while I don't have them in front of me, I remember sort of, I think there's a handful, and one of them is really focused on, you know, that God would continue to bless us as a nation, and we would remain one united nation under God. You know, there's lots of division everywhere you look, and things trying to pull apart this beautiful nation and the people in it. And so, you know, but very much kind of a democratic intention of us being able to retain our democratic way of government and living our free existence as human people, and to remain united. So that's kind of a focus of it, which I think is very, very much needed. And then also, you know, we believe very much, I think many, many Catholics, that abortion is something that cries out to the heavens as just such a travesty, the innocent unborn. And so we just really feel that a lot of the things that we faced that kind of have, you know, have just made it say, God, are you still with us? I mean, we feel in our hearts that abortion is a very serious and grave offense, you know, against God and our nation. And so we pray for not just that there would be a complete end to abortion, but we also have an intention where we pray for reparation to the heart of God for the abortions that have been committed here. And then the last one that we have is, you know, a lot of people, you talk to a lot of people over the months out of Valley Forge, right? There's a lot of people that come early or stay late to as a place to talk to one another. And, you know, there was just a feeling that when this when the disease hit, the pandemic hit, that it was sort of like maybe God was withdrawing his hand of protection from us just ever so slightly. And so we have a formal intention now going into the springtime where we're asking the Lord to return his full blessing and protection over our nation. And that's really the heart of what we pray for there.
Mary B., how many people are gathering like two times a week? Is it a big crowd or a little group?
Well, we're not quite up to the numbers of the fall, but to be honest with you, we haven't really done much of anything to promote it. It's really through the word of mouth at this point in time. It's sort of something that I have to put my mind to and you know, start to become more disciplined and just kind of promoting it to people. So, you know, prior to the election, I think our largest crowd may have been in the, like, a little over 30.
Mm-hmm.
We're sensitive to not having too many. So, like, that's like the highest that I would think I would want it to go in any given time. But something that's kind of been strangely in the back of my head is one time when I was heading out there, I heard the Blessed Mother tell me before the election that she calls 12 all the time. And I just, it kind of related back to the apostles. And sure enough, I watched over the course of a few weeks after that, I heard that. And there would be, I'd say, see, there's only 9 here in my head. And then I would see over the course of the next 15 minutes, somebody pop up over this hill or that coming down the pathway to join us. And it did end up to be about 12 most of the time. I would say right now we have, it's pretty much that on Tuesdays, but we could use more prayers on Thursday for sure.
What time do you gather to pray?
We gather at 2:30,
mm-hmm.
And we're done. I'm just trying to think. We're done by 4:00. The praying is only 1 hour, and so 2:30 to 3:30, and it's designed hopefully that maybe we're praying the Divine Mercy part around the hour of mercy at 3:00. So, you know, what we do is we start out with we sing the Immaculate Mary song to begin with. And don't worry if you're off tune and you come out, because the Blessed Mother makes it sound perfect by the time it gets to God's ears. and then the rosary, the patriotic rosary, where we really pray for each state on each Hail Mary. And on the Our Fathers, people are probably familiar with this, but if not, like, you know, in one decade, we'll pray for the office of the presidency. Another, we'll pray for the governorship. And another one's municipality or the Supreme Court. So it really just covers our nation completely at every level of government, and then all the different pieces of state, the local governments, things like that. And then when that's done, we all recite a consecration prayer together that actually was said by Bishop Carroll in the 1700s and when he consecrated our nation to Our Lady. So everybody always loves that part. It just really feels powerful when you do it. And so we pray that. And then we do the Divine Mercy, and we end our cenacle with by singing God Bless America.
Sounds very powerful. So is this Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Tuesdays and Thursdays. 2:30 to 3:30.
And at one time, probably a year ago, I know you had mentioned a website, how people could find or get directions to the particular marquee. Is it still up and running?
It's still up, and it's really easy to remember. It's just all typed together, valleyforgerosary.com.
Valleyforgerosary.com.
And there's only... you know, it's just a one-page site at this point. Mm-hmm. I'll be very honest with you. We have aspirations if we can get the time to do it. We'd like to add some things there. Like, we've had witnesses just talk about, like, experiences that they've had while they were, you know, at the marquee. As a matter of fact, I was at a retreat in New York this weekend, and I had a gentleman who prayed at the marquee. He's from Boston. And he had prayed there, and he took about 60 pictures, and he made a set for me, and there's just some beautifully interesting photographs where you just feel like God is definitely smiling on what's going on there. So we want to be able to share some witness stories, so we're thinking of putting a page up that has some of those. And then also, we also feel that it's very important that people understand the roots of this, of faith in conjunction with our country from the earliest stages of our founding. And there's somebody who, you know, works with me as a partner in all of this, and she has tremendous knowledge, and there's great websites that people can go to learn more about this. And so she's going to work kind of on that part of the pages. She's going to put a page together of links for people, some basic facts about, you know, our founding that people don't know, and when they read it, they're like, wow, you know, I never learned that before. It just gives me great comfort.
Well, it also gives great hope.
Yes.
That the founding of our country is based on the Lord. And the beautiful story behind George Washington that's somehow been lost. You know, I had this discussion via text with Father Blunt probably last fall when he landed in Philadelphia. We're going back and forth, and I'm saying, I thought George Washington was a Mason. And then he went in, I think I saved all of it. And this is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story. He was a Catholic. And Our Lady appeared to him, my friend. So if you're just tuning in, yes, Our Lady appeared to George Washington in Valley Forge, and there is a rosary crusade happening in Valley Forge. And if you want more information, go to www.valleyforgerosary.com. It's just a one-page site, but it'll give you more information if you want to gather with this rosary group two times a week at 2:30, Tuesdays and Thursdays. No commitments, just prayer time. And I know that you personally have experienced many amazing things at this marquee in Valley Forge State Park since you started. When exactly did you start going out there to pray?
We started on the day that's recognized in the church or celebrated as the Blessed Mother's birthday, and that's September 8th.
Right.
And so we launched it on that day, and we've continued, you know, ever since, all the way through.
Do you have any insight in terms of what the Lord wants of you down the road? Is it just taking small baby steps? Or do you have any prophetic sense of, you know, this is going to be a very powerful place to be?
I feel like, I mean, really the prophetic stuff is really more in Kathleen's department than in mine. I'm like a kind of baby steps in comparison. But being out there and spending many hours, I feel like, I mean, you know, Anne, as a woman of faith, that, you know, every prayer is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that can't be understated. He hears every prayer, every single one. And I think being there and honoring Our Lady, and you know what a powerful intercessor she is for this time, especially in history. and the success that people have had in seeking her intervention at times that were really difficult for them as well. There's many times in history where this has happened. So I feel that it's going to prove, when we look back at it, as something that was very powerful in terms of Our Lady's role in bringing out peace and a return of a reign of God in our country and to the things that made us who we are, something where we live much more, get back to kind of, you know, being in alignment with those values and those things that God desires of us. So that's one thing. I think something I'm observing in the interim, and Kathleen hinted at this when she did a radio show with us a while ago when it first started, I'm noticing non-Catholics coming and asking questions. And I think that's so beautiful because you don't have to be Catholic to pray a rosary or to love Jesus' mother. You know, I mean, obviously being a Catholic, we honor her in a very special way. But, you know, the Blessed Mother can be part of, she's part of the story, right? She got him here.
Yes.
And so I feel like when we look back on this thing and history is written, I feel like we're going to find out that it was a powerful tool in bringing about peace and unity, not just unity in our country, but even unity of our faith, even though some of our we have differences in terms of our, like, Christian faith to some degree. But who knows? She may call even non-Christians there. I mean, you know, God can do anything, but I've noticed, even in the last 2 weeks, I've had multiple occasions where someone has come by and said, okay, so I know you guys pray here. You've been praying for a long time. I run on this path.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Tell me why do you come here and pray? And it just creates a beautiful opportunity for a dialogue. We end up usually talking about how much we all share in our love of our country. And we also, the people we've spoken to so far, also love the Lord. And they just really, they thank us for praying there. And then we invite them. Like, you know, we appreciate your thank you, but, like, join us. It will bring peace to you. So I think when history is all told, I feel like we're going to see a great number of people from different faiths that came together around the rosary and that would increase devotion to the rosary.
Amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, our special guest today is Mary B. D'Amico, and we're discussing Valley Forge and the Marquis, where George Washington received an apparition from Our Lady, and how a rosary crusade has been built around this beautiful, beautiful marquee. If you'd like more information, visit www.valleyforgerosary.com. Join the prayer group Tuesdays. I call it a prayer group. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2:30 at the marquee. You don't have to have an invitation. And my friends, after the commercial break, we'll be back with Mary B. on the Rosa Mystica.
This is Pat Lally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world, and wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
My friends, we're back with our special guest today, Mary B. D'Amico. And as we switch gears from Valley Forge State Park and George Washington and the Blessed Mother, we're going to be sharing a little bit about Mary B.'s experience on a powerful retreat this past weekend with Kathleen McCarthy and others at Rosa Mystica in New York. But for those of you who don't know anything about the Rosa Mystica, you know, I'm sure a lot of Philadelphians know, the Blessed Mother appeared as the Rosa Mystica, and I may not say this correctly, Montichieri, Italy. And it's a small town in northern Italy, and it's situated in front of the Italian Alps. And guess what? The name means in English, Bright Mountains. And on the hill lies the old castle of St. Mary and the venerable church of St. Pancrazio. And the first apparition was to Perini Gilli in 1911 as she worked as a nurse in a hospital there. And I ask that you look up what Our Lady said because it's very important. I learned of this apparition, she is probably in 1990 and started praying at noontime on December 8th, the specific Psalm 151. And I have loved Rosa Mystica in a very special way. And it fell off radar for me for a while. So when I heard there's a special retreat house up in New York, and the Kathleen and Father Blunt actually were to speak there, and Mary B. had the great honor and blessing to be there, I wanted Mary B. to share a little bit about her experience at the Rosa Mystica retreat this past weekend. Not specifics of how the retreat house came into being, because that will be with Kathleen, but Mary B.'s specific experience with Rosa Mystica.
Thanks, Anne. thanks for the background on that. You know, this whole thing really caught me by surprise, and sometimes those are the best ones, right?
Like, yes.
there's someone you're just planning. I mean, this all came about several months ago. Kathleen was supposed to go up, and I was going to join her, and help as her transport. and something happened, and she, someone around her in a close circle became sick, and she felt that it was better that she not go. So we didn't get to go that time. And then I knew she was going again, but the whole thing was booked by the time it was announced, and so I just kind of put it out of my head. And then a week and a half ago, she called and said that there was a cancellation, and if I wanted it, I had to act very quickly. They had, like, a spot. And so I jumped on it. So I transported Kathleen again. Unfortunately, Father Blunt was under the weather, so they had to find another priest. But, you know, there's no accidents with God, right?
No.
So Father Blunt did get to join us for about 30 minutes, while he's, recuperating safely in his rectory. So we got a beautiful message from him. But in the meantime, a beautiful new partnership was formed with by the Holy Spirit with Kathleen. And I'm trying to remember the priest's last name. It's Father Louis Leonelli, I think his name is. And he's from the Bronx, and he is a beautiful witness in and of himself. But the first thing I was thinking is, it was a long trip up there, and I wasn't quite sure where I was going. It's like that feeling when you're on a long drive and you've never been someplace before and you're not sure. So the first night, believe it or not, we had snow on Friday night.
No.
And I thought, oh, Lord, what am I doing? But what you notice when you kind of get past the elements and look around, these beautiful mountains and this just gorgeous setting. The town that it's in is called Edmiston, E-D-M-E-S-T-O-N, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's north of Binghamton. I think it's northeast of Binghamton, not quite as far as Albany. And it's just this little getaway. And when the woman who owns the property, the 150 acres, actually she leads it because I believe it's owned by a foundation, but she shared with me that the one road there, her mother was very much involved in this, in identifying this location, but I think the road is called Angel Hill Road, and they didn't name it that. It was just, you know, when there's a story about how God ordained that something would be here around Rosa Mystica, they found it on Angel Hill Road, the property that they were pointed to, which is just so awesome. God is awesome. And there's this beautiful church there, and then what you look out across this one field, and there's all of these cabins. And the cabins have they can sleep four people in them, and they have like a kitchen area, and they have a bathroom, so they're perfectly, the plumbing and warmth or air conditioning, whatever you need. And they're just a whole field of them, and she's trying to build more and more of them. In addition to that, they have a place called, I think that it's called St. Joseph's House, or I'm not exactly sure what the third word is, but it's where there's the main lodge would be next to the chapel. and then adjacent to the chapel, they have an adoration chapel that is just breathtaking. in the main church, which is where a lot of the activities took place, what you see down the main aisle is a larger-than-life-size replica. The crucifix is behind, and then the replica of Rosa Mystica, her representation, is kind of in front of that, but down just a little bit, and it just kind of takes your breath away. Really, really beautiful. And so it was just like a wonderful experience. And if I have not researched Rosa Mystica. I knew a priest from Nigeria who used to call her Mystical Rose many years ago. And I also know in praying in St. Isaac Joke's Adoration Chapel that, you know, over 2.5 decades that I've been going there, Mystical Rose statue has always been right there adjacent to the Blessed Sacrament, to the left of the altar. So, and so I thought that was just kind of special when it came about. I thought, okay, well, this story is a story I think that's going to be important now. And what I thought that I had heard up there is from the beginning, her apparition and messages was very much tied to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that the messages from this weekend very much reinforce that at every level, that, you know, that our need, the great need to pray for our priest, and it's to basically, you know, cover them and to fortify them with the prayers of the faithful at this time. And so, you know, that was a beautiful theme. As far as the people that went there, I made a lot of nice new friends from the Long Island area. It seems like that's where, but they don't have a short ride. It's like 4.5 hours for them
Wow.
to get there. But, you know, the family that started it came from Long Island as well. So I think it's word of mouth probably, you know, is the reason why they were all there. Just beautiful people, all sharing their love of God. And what's really interesting is they call themselves House of Prayer.
Mm.
They don't call themselves a retreat center. They call it Rosa Mystica House of Prayer. And they were sharing with me that in the main lodge that they really like to have priests come there and be able to have a respite, a place of prayer where they can get away and just kind of rejuvenate and focus on their prayer life and focus on hearing God's voice and kind of getting away from it a little bit, and then going back in into their ministry or to their parishes. What else can I tell
you?
Was
there a specific message for the weekend for those who attended? Because it was a limited number of people. So was it a commissioning of all those who attended to go forth and pray for priests? Was there another message behind this?
The praying for priests, you said it so eloquently. I couldn't have said it better. And that is absolutely one of the primary messages. But also that the prayers of the prayerful faithful are so important at this time. And a message that I took away just, you know, as an individual prayer, nobody special, that God is taking our prayers, you know, his real warriors, you know, the people who are devoted to him in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is a huge part of this. Devoted to Our Lady in the Rosary and to praying, you know, those two things. It's like I remember St. John Bosco, was it? Is he the one that talked about the twin pillars?
Yes.
And
yes.
Of Eucharistic adoration and devotion
and
to
the
Our Lady.
Mother.
I can't remember who
yes,
it was.
Yes, it was the
anyway,
two. It was John Bosco. Of St. John, right? On the Feast of St. John Bosco, it was the two pillars. And one was the ship going between the two pillars, the Eucharist and Our Blessed Mother.
Well, that's what I felt when I was there, because the Eucharist is a tremendous center point. As a matter of fact, in that program beginning on Friday evening after dinner, there was so much adoration. They had two complete nights. They call it nocturnal adoration.
Mm.
Went all night long and up to about 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. This was a group that prayed rosaries together, and they did a lot of adoration. And so I would say those are two focus points. But in terms of a takeaway message, it was really, you know, the combination of Kathleen's inspired words in her speaking, and the priest that they sent in, Father Louis Leonelli. I think he's from Father Groeschel's order.
Oh, I met him. Yes, he's a trumpet player.
Yes, absolutely. He played with Bruce Springsteen before.
Yeah, and Marty Rotella. He's a good friend of Marty Rotella.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Now I know who he is.
So him, and then Father Blunt's brief message that he called in. I mean, basically what I took away from it is that God is turning us into this beautiful light. There's a light, a fire that is growing in each one of the prayerful faithful. And that light is bringing about his presence in the world. And at some point, when certain things happen, and there's a lot of people writing about what's going to happen and all of this stuff, at some point in time, God is going to reach out to people who maybe don't know of the faith or have turned away from the faith, or they're caught up in the ways of the world, and he's going to give them this beautiful, merciful opportunity to know him and to love him. And what I took away is when that happens, those people will see Jesus in the light that has grown in his faithful remnant through devotion to the Eucharist and to Our Lady. And so it was encouragement to pray until you can't pray anymore. And that to understand that is kind of what's happening to each one of us. We're being transformed into this beautiful, I'll call it a flame of love inside of us that is Jesus. That is going to be used, each one of us, in a powerful way at the right time that Jesus chooses to bring him, to be his arms. We always talk about being his arms, his feet. We are the only bodies that he has present right now, physical bodies, and he's going to use us in a very special way.
So, Mary B., you know, we hear so often in all types of evangelical news about doom and gloom. So this was an uplifting retreat, as I hear you speak about, you know, the particulars in terms of what was taught, what was shared. Were there prayer group leaders there? Were they housewives, professionals, or a mix of all of the above?
I think it's a mixture of, I saw beautiful couples there. I saw friends there. It wasn't like I noticed there were like groups of people that I felt were just like kind of all hanging together. It mm-hmm. just seemed to be kind of a mixed bag of people and people that understand that we're living in very unique times, and but also that God has called us and chosen each one of us to live in these times. And I think what we all understand is that we need to live in the present right now. We need to live. We can't look at what's going to happen tomorrow and try and think about, you know, oh, you know, or the allow fear to creep in or mm-hmm. darkness. And it's easy to get sucked into that. But we have to remember that God is right here with us right now, and there isn't anything that he doesn't prepare us for. And so if we stay kind of in the present, we're going to be ready for that next step that he has for us. And we're all hopeful because we know that this is about bringing about the salvation of many, many people. And, you know, I mean, what I thought when I was there is, you know, we are all beloved children of the Father. And, you know, he and Our Lady and Jesus, they weep for, and he suffered and died for every single individual. And so their quest is to save as many people as possible. And so I feel like the focus was not on what I call it sausage making, whatever sausage making has to happen between here and then, you know, it's really about the idea that we're part of a very important mission in the history of mankind to bring about, you know, a time of peace and victory and the salvation of many, many souls.
Mary B., did you see or sense any connection between Valley Forge and Rosa Mystica?
Oh, Anne, thank you for asking that question. Actually, it blew me away. It completely blew me away. I was not expecting this. At some point, I believe Joanne will come and do a dedicated show with Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea the details about that, but you'll hear more. But this woman who was successful on Wall Street gave it all up to raise her children, and she really was an artist in heart. And she went back to her artistry, and the place is filled with the most beautiful religious artwork, one of which is Our Lady of the Americas, where if you've seen an image of Our Lady wrapped in the American flag,
mm-hmm.
she actually drew, she painted that picture. And as soon as I saw it, I said, you did that? Like, I've seen that. I've seen that in many, many places. And actually, they are putting together a special, to call it a prayer garden is too limiting. It's bigger than that. It's like a living, patriotic rosary walkway. So like, you know, where the beads of every single state, and there are families and people who have sponsored each state. All 50 states are already sponsored. And the mysteries and the glory beads and the Our Fathers. And then they have a field where they're going to have enormous flags, and there are people and families that are sponsoring each one of these flags. And so on July 4th, I think she said it was Sister Dee Dee who was got really famous on her talk at the convention last fall.
Right. She's the one that said, "May the dogma live loudly within me."
Yes. She said something about the rosary.
Yes,
too, but
that's her weapon of choice.
I should be ashamed because a lot of people have adopted a couple of key quotes from that, from her, but very powerful. And as they kind of officially commission this patriotic rosary kind of environment, outdoor mm-hmm. environment that they have there, this beautiful tribute to that That's going to be on July 4th this year. I mean, don't just drive up there and show up. I mean, you probably, if you think you want to make a trip up to there, you should give them a call and just try and find out the details for what's happening. But when I went there and I saw this patriotic rosary walk, it just kind of took my breath away, and I could not believe it. And then there in the gift shop, they had these pamphlets of the patriotic rosary, and they had reduced pictures of the artwork that were signed by Joanne for people to take home. And so it was everywhere. It was really, it's definitely a focus. So it was just kind of reinforcement that we need to pray for our country.
So what is the one word or the one takeaway that you have, Mary B., when you look back over this past week? And I know you're exhausted. I called you early this morning after a 300-mile drive mm-hmm. with Kathleen. But what is the one word that defines your takeaway from this past weekend?
I would just say hope. Hope. I mean, there's words I'm going, is it joy? Is it hope? Is it peace? It's got to be hope. I feel like coming through a pandemic and death and darkness and conspiracy and this and that and confusion and every and division and all of this that's around us, I think what I took away from there is a lot of hope.
And you're providing that. And then to tie it into Valley Forge, is you never expected that.
I had no idea that was, and that's part of the fabric of what's going on up there as well.
Well, I thank you for being with us. I know you're exhausted. You need to see your husband. You've been wonderful today. Excuse me. Is there a specific website, do you know of, or a prayer that we can share with our listeners? Are you aware? I'm putting you on the spot. I know if you do a Google search of Rosa Mystica, there are it'll give you the actual messages from the apparitions given to Ms. Perini in Italy. Then you can read them yourself. And I love when she said, the Blessed Mother said, very soon one will know how important this hour of grace is, which is the December 8th grace. And she said about the bricks that we're building in prayer and the shedding of our tears of repentance will find a secure ladder to heaven and get protection and graces from our motherly heart, from my motherly heart. So how powerful is that?
It's very powerful. I mean, I'm sure there's special prayers for Rosa Mystica that I would love to go research and dig into that. But, Anne, you know what really comes to mind?
What?
And we were all part of this weekend, you know, Kathleen and everyone. The unity prayer.
Ah.
It's derived from the Flame of Love. Like, that's where the gift was given to Elizabeth Kindleman.
Yes.
But separate and apart from that, doesn't matter if you pray that way or you don't pray in that way. The unity prayer is so powerful. Father Blunt says this all the time. We tried to do a campaign on Good Friday to blind Satan right before the hours of the Passion.
Yes.
And we had done through email. We probably had thousands and thousands and thousands of people praying around the world at a certain time to blind Satan. And so if there were one prayer, I just feel in my heart that prayer is so important, and it's an easy prayer. It's a beautiful prayer, and it doesn't really matter, like, you know, what the specifics of what you believe. It's between you and Jesus. It's about unity with Jesus, and that in that power, being united with Him, is how we blind Satan. And so to pray that over and over again, pray it for your priest, pray it for your children. You know, pray it over situations that seem dark in your life. Just pray it. Just pray. Find the unity. Google unity prayer. And it starts out, my adorable Jesus. And if you find that, you found the right one. That's the one prayer I would say that people should say over and over and over again.
Let us pray this together. I have it in front of me. It was left here on the desk in the studio. My adorable Jesus. May our feet journey together. May our hands gather in unity. May our hearts beat in unison. May our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. May our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. And may our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. O Blessed Lady, spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I know Kathleen will be covering the Rosa Mystica retreat that she gave up at the House of Prayer and in depth. And I thank you, Mary B. I hope to be speaking to you soon, and God bless you.
Thank you, Anne. It was great talking to you and sharing all of this.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
Wow. You know, we went from the Rosary Crusade at Valley Forge Music Fair. Boy, is that a time from the past. That Rosary Crusade at Valley Forge, if you want to look this up, go to www.valleyforgerosary.com. It will tell you about the marquee. George Washington received an apparition of the Blessed Lady and how people from many areas are gathering twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, from 2:30 to 4 to pray the rosary. You don't have to register. You just show up. And again, that's valleyforgerosary.com for directions and any information. And then Mary B. took us to the Rosa Mystica House of Prayer and her experience this past weekend with the Rosa Mystica. And thank you again, Mary B. Look up the Rosa Mystica. And God bless all of us that we will turn to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. My friends, in the coming weeks, I will not be live with you. I am having surgery next Tuesday, and Kathleen has set up and Maureen some special host, and I know that you will love them. I'm not sure who they are at this point, but I ask that you remember me in your prayers next Tuesday for the surgery, which will take me out of commission for a while. And I thank you, and I pray for you today through the intercession of Rosa Mystica and Our Lady and all the angels and saints and Padre Pio. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.